This is Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from listener-supported KTOO. It's Wednesday, September 13th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunatjie Shawa, for joining the conversation. On today's show, we'll chat with the outgoing and incoming city manager for Juno. What's the position, what's their function, and what's the future for Juno look like? Jonathan Stalls, author of Walk, Slow Down, Wake Up, and Connect, is here to share about his upcoming Glow Walk tomorrow, as well as other events this week. And The Power of the Mind author Ken Trul Kenpoche is in town this week for a few different events. And we'll round out the hour with comedian Brooks Whelan, who is in town this Sunday at the Gold Town Nick. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikak gunish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Yacine, Get Yourself Together, coming next week, Ock Rock Music Festival. Can't believe it's already going to be here. It's so awesome. It's coming up really, really soon. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ock Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Honored to have with us today the outgoing city manager, Rory Watt, and the incoming city manager, Katie Kester. Gunatjie for you both being here today.
Thanks, Boston. Really appreciate you having us in the studio.
Yeah, it's so nice to have you here live. And like, there's so much to get started on here, but I want to just, let's just get right into it. Sometimes it can be difficult to discern what exactly various positions in government do. It kind of reminds me of like universities too, with titles and how they are sort of all wackadoodle. And the city manager has a broad range, it seems. I know in some ways or in some cities, they even call it like the CEO or the COO of a company. So Rory, would you start us off by defining the role of city manager for the city and borough of Juno?
Yeah, you bet. I think COO of the city is probably the best definition. So the assembly hires the manager, and the manager has operational control over the entire city, general government. And Juno has a large governmental footprint. We do lots of things here that other communities don't do. And part of that is because the state has a limited approach to government. So the manager is, you know, over lots of traditional things like police and fire and streets and utilities and parks and recreation and the finance department and human resources and library and museum. And they're probably missing a few things there.
Sounds like a lot, Katie.
Yeah. So there's that operational piece, but then there's also the duty to the public and duty to the assembly. And so the problems and needs of the citizens and elected officials of the day can be inside or outside the scope of traditional city government. And people look to the city to provide leadership and at least start on a path towards solutions to a whole host of non-traditional municipal problems.
Right, right. Okay. Now, Rory, I know you've been working for the last 7 years as city manager, but you've been with the city for a total of 30 years. Is that right?
30 years, yeah. Hitting that mark right around now.
And that's remarkable. And your tenure is ending in just a few short weeks.
It is. So my last day of work is at the end of September.
All right. So what are your plans for October?
I'm going rock climbing. So I have become very enthusiastic about rock climbing, and I'm going on a two-month rock climbing road trip. And
oh, wow.
Then we'll see what happens after that. Very, very enthusiastic about rock climbing.
That sounds like a great time. Where are some of the places you're going to be going?
Well, I think I'm going to be in Wyoming. I actually bought myself a van, and I'm going to be living in the van, rock climbing, acting like I'm 20-something. The assembly was kind enough to give me a new climbing rope as a goodbye present. I wore my old one out, and so a nice piece of safety gear was highly appreciated.
But that's cool.
We're going to be starting out in Colorado and Wyoming, and then we'll see how the weather this fall shapes up.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what are some of your fondest memories of working for the city, whether it's as city manager or, you know, your other jobs that you had in the city?
You know, I think the thing that stands out to me is working with staff and staff development and trying to improve and keep the city as a really functional organization that's responsive to the public and is open to criticism and, you know, just problem solving.
Yeah,
that's really what sticks out to me. I had 20 years or so in the engineering side of the world, a lot of project work, building things, maintaining things, planning things. And I love that as well. But as manager, trying to focus on the ecosystem of the city and making that the best darn local government it could be.
That's awesome. Now, I know you mentioned problem solving, and in your bio on the city website, it says you enjoy solving difficult problems. How difficult was the pandemic?
Wow, the pandemic was hard, because we had nothing really to rely on. And we had amongst our citizens lots of different theories on what the city should do. So we transformed city government into an agency that was public health focused, an agency that was meeting virtually, an agency that was focused on distributing federal resources. In none of those things did we have any experience in. And I was really, really proud of staff and the community and the assembly and how we just shifted our focus and took those new tasks and tried to figure out how to do them as best we could.
Was that your biggest challenge?
It certainly probably. I mean, it went on for several years. I hesitate to say it was the biggest challenge because it seems like every day we show up and there's a new, really intractable problem. I think that's just the life of a city manager is you only get things that are really hard or close to impossible. If other people can solve them, they don't really tell you about it.
It's maybe just because the pandemic went on for so long.
Yeah.
You know, other problems come up and they're solved within a couple of weeks perhaps or something like that. But that just went on. I mean, you were on our radio station all the time during the pandemic. We were checking in with you, figuring out, do we still need to wash our bag of Doritos? Do we, you know, what do we need to do here? How do we get a vaccine when that started to come about? Like there was a lot of different pieces of that. So I can just imagine how difficult that can be. And the city and the assembly and the town really celebrates your 30 years. And that's really awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
So congratulations. So Katie, have you now assumed the role? Are you in the job? Are you following this guy around? What's happening?
I'm certainly following him around as much as I can and getting the brain dump. I like to use the title almost city manager.
Almost, right? You just got to get him out a couple more weeks and get him out.
I'll hold on to him as long as I can.
I know. I feel like it's like two linked computers and all the data is being transferred over. But you have been a city manager before in Homer. Right. And so you're no stranger to the position. Do you already see like what the differences might be between having been a city manager in Homer and now being city manager here in Juneau?
Yeah, I was city manager in Homer for 5 years, and Homer is a first class city in a second class borough. So Juno just does a lot more. So that's one of the big differences, as City Manager Watt mentioned. You know, the founders of Juno, who developed the charter, said, we want control over hospital. We want control over school district. We want to do a lot more than really most any other city in the state of Alaska. So I'm excited about taking on those challenges of a community that really wants to serve its citizens in every aspect.
I get that. Now, it's not, as Rory mentioned, it's not an elected position, but it carries a great deal of responsibility. Rory weathered the COVID-19 pandemic. Now we're navigating the tourism ramp up after some lean years. So, Katie, I know you mentioned a lot of different areas. How do you go about prioritizing with so many competing areas? Is it just, obviously, there's the daily, like, oh, this is what's on fire today. Hopefully not literally, but like, this is what's on fire today. I got to deal with that. But then when you start thinking about other things long term, how do you do that? How do you do that?
Yeah, of course, there are the daily fires that take up some of your time. But really, you lean on the assembly to provide that direction and that guidance, because, you know, the assembly has been chosen by the voters to represent them. And so, you know, I will constantly be going back to the assembly to ask them for guidance on their priorities, ask them, you know, for guidance on implementing their priorities, and really ask for the assembly to be that compass for CBJ priorities and what we do.
Right. Now, I know it's not all about emergency planning and all that. There's a lot of things going on. And you did mention the relationship to the assembly. Can you break that down a little bit for me? It seems like if the city manager is the CEO or the COO, then the assembly is that like the board of directors, but they have a little bit more power, right, to tell you what to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great analogy, a board of directors. I'll have 9 bosses here come October instead of just the one that I have now. Not only do you take guidance from the assembly, but it's really important to take guidance from the body as a whole. So, you know, you don't have 9 bosses individually. You have to work to help get that collaboration, get that voice from the body as a whole to point you in a direction. And I think that's part of the kind of magic and the secret sauce of city management that people don't often think about.
Right. So I guess it's only been, you know, I don't know what day did you start?
Well, technically, Monday was my first day. So you're right. It has only been three days.
3 full days. All right. So we're giving you the grill right now. but you've been working in this city. You've been here in Juneau working. You were working in the engineering department. Is that right?
Yeah, I was engineering and public works director for the last 3.5 years.
Yeah. Okay. So you're no stranger to Juneau in terms of what's been happening here and all that. Can you give us any idea of what you think some of the major items that are going to be impacting Juneau right now and like into the sort of near future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think housing and finding affordable housing solutions is going to continue to be a priority. Childcare is a priority of the assembly. Managing tourism in a responsible way. Again, one of those big complex problems. And I would add to that trash. You know, we don't own our landfill, and that's certainly a kind of a looming cliff that the community is looking at.
Oh, the landfill. We could spend hours on the landfill. Yeah, that's true. So let's just talk about a couple of issues before we wrap up today. Because I know this is a question that a lot of people have. We just had the major flood that happened. We've had the pandemic. We've had, you know, and obviously emergency planning is part of the job and part of the city to do that. How prepared is Juneau for emergencies in general?
Well,
after 3 days on the job.
Yeah, no, I actually, in my role as engineering and public works director, I've been incident command for the flooding in 2020, the landslide on Gastineau Avenue, and then the most recent Yoka Loop. So I've had the opportunity to work closely with our emergency management team, and we've got a really great team. And we've got a lot of really great leaders who are ready to step up during those times and provide leadership for the community. So, you know, the thing about an emergency is you never know when it's coming. You never know what it's going to be. And it's hard to be prepared for everything. But I've really seen not just CBJ employees shine, but the whole community comes out. I mean, when I stand up an EOC, I've got people from the federal government. I've got engineers who maybe have a particular expertise who are lending a hand. I mean, this community really comes together in those times.
Wow. That's great. That's good news. That's good. That's good to hear, right? That's good to hear. So a couple of other things that I just wanted to bring up. Fall and winter is coming fast. And I know that right now warming shelters are a big topic. What can the city manager's office comment on when it comes to this particular issue? I don't know if we want to go to the it's still outgoing.
Yeah, well, I'll grab that. It's a hard issue.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to negotiate a contract for a winter shelter. Bottom line, we're going to figure out something. We have to figure out something. The public wants us to. The assembly wants us to. So we've been in the news about, trying to renew last year's contract, but that didn't work out. We've been in the news because, our last ditch stopgap measure of using the transit center and a heated bus gets us a lot of comments about surely we could do something else. And we're trying really hard. But the brutal truth of the matter is every property owner or agency that we talk to tells us we'd like to help, but I don't have time. My agency can't do it. Or we'd like to help, but why don't you ask another building owner? That's the brutal truth of the matter. It's a hard, hard topic. But we're working with the homeless services providers, and hopefully we can come up with something that we can announce fairly soon.
That's great. I mean, it seems a matter of space, right? I mean, that's a big...
It's space and staffing and policy, right? So with the emergency shelter, you're walking this fine line of what's the appropriate level of services to provide that helps keep people safe and out of harm's way. But there's a constant tension in homeless services about, how permissive you are for behavioral things and, whether if you're too permissive, whether that doesn't help people, advance in their lives.
Right. Now, I know another big topic is the new city hall. And I know that we don't want to dive into that too deep right now because we're basically out of time here, but it's definitely on people's minds. I know it's a ballot measure. And tonight, Rory, you're going to be part of the League of Women Voters Forum that's being broadcast here on KTO and elsewhere. Can you give us a quick preview of what you're doing there tonight? And I know people can tune in online at KTO if they want to find out more, but what are you doing there tonight?
So my understanding tonight is, media availability and questions about the project. So I'll just be answering questions that people have, trying to explain why the assembly put the project on the ballot, what the details are.
And there's a pro and a con, right? There'll be another
speaker who's opposed to the ballot initiative.
Right. Okay. So if you want to tune into that tonight, you can go to kto.org and find out more about that. It's part of the forums that we're doing. Last night was the assembly. Tonight's the school board. And then also this particular ballot measure issue that's going to be talked about tonight. So, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here. It's really exciting. I'm glad. This is like a full retirement for you, Rory.
No, I've really tried to avoid using the word retirement because I like
so we're
doing
gonna things. We're gonna go on the rock climbing tour and then don't know.
We're gonna see.
We're gonna see what happens. Right, 2024 is just around the corner. Who knows what will be happening? But Katie, we know what you're gonna be doing for the next number of years.
Absolutely.
We're really excited about it. So I really want to thank you for being here today. If you want to follow along, you can go to juno.org/manager. They don't have Katie's picture up there yet, but they will soon. And that's where you can find out more about what's going on with them. And you can look at the issues that are currently being tracked and all that kind of stuff on that website. So, and I'm sure that we will have you back on this program many more times.
Looking forward to it.
So Gwyneth Cheese for being here. Appreciate it. Up next, Walking and Slowing Down to Connect. We'll chat with author Jonathan Stalls about some events to partake in this week. You're listening to KTOO on Juno Afternoon.
Good God, I used to dread reeling in them boy heads. I pretended they were sharks and I never tell my friends, man, because my imagination got me bullied by them older fellas. My mama told me they were jealous. You couldn't shoot my confidence. It's bulletproof, man, and I got mama to thank, man. She made me who I am.
We them sunny nose best kids play. Everybody here knows my name. Oh, some things just never change.
hand-me-down clothes. And even back then, I never had a lot of friends until the kids around the res were playing cowboys and Indians. They all wanted to be cowboys. But I'm a native and I'm proud of it. Me and all my cousins facing everyday struggles. Like I told this girl, I liked her and she kicked me in the stomach. I get it. She was raised around her brother. And the only thing tougher than her brother was her mother. I was only 7. I learned a valuable lesson. My mama told me that these girls could be my cousin. I said I wasn't doing none. I got a village to run. Cause my mama's favorite grandson ran with them village kids. And tell my mom I heard that my cousin stole her cigarettes. I think my brother told him, man, he's such a stupid idiot.
You need to calm down, mama. Swear it wasn't me.
She beat my ass dumb, but I could take it. I was young, I was raised by my res, man. You know where I'm from, and when the snot hits my lip, I still lick it with my tongue, cause
this is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's a little snotty-nosed Rez Kids, one of the featured artists coming to Ok Rock Music Festival, the one and only indigenous music festival in the United States. And it's happening right here in Juno next week. So you can find out more at okrockfest.com. Jonathan Stalls, author of Walk, Slow Down, Wake Up, Connect, and founder of Walk to Connect, will be hosting walking events at Twin Lakes tomorrow, September 13th, and a walking leader training on Thursday, the 14th. Events are sponsored by the Juno AARP, Juno Commission on Aging, and SAIL. Welcome now to the Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, Jonathan Stalls. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Hello, hello. I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
So nice to have you here. Yeah. Gunath Sheesh. So give us a little bit about who you are.
Yeah. Well, I'm honored. Thank you, Boston.
We share a taste in hats.
We do.
We know that already.
We absolutely do. I love it, especially the wool outside in the rain. It's really nice.
Yeah.
I call myself a walking artist primarily. So, you know, I walk for 15, 20 miles a day often. So I love the medicine of moving in an unhurried way. I'm a pen and ink artist. I'm a writer. And I'm also an advocate for pedestrian safety and accessibility. So I do a lot of documentation on built environment. And so it's a lot of things. Sometimes I'm sitting down drawing trees. Sometimes I'm documenting an unsafe intersection. It's all of it.
I love it. I love your journal that you have in here in the studio. Hopefully I'll get a picture of you and your journal there. It's a nice leather journal.
Thank you.
It's one of those. Does it have a little tie around it too?
Does.
It has
it
a little
does.
Tie. Yeah, yeah,
yes,
yeah. I love those. I own way too many
way
of them.
Way too many.
And I don't fill them up.
Yep.
And But every time I go somewhere like Kindred Post and I see one, I'm like, oh man, that's so beautiful. I gotta have it.
That's right.
Okay. So your book is a collection of essays where you explore walking as waking up, right? Can you tell me a little bit about that, what that
sure.
journey was?
Yeah, well, a lot of this started it was a very personal journey to begin with. I needed to restart. I needed to recalibrate. This was back in 2009. I was coming out. I was working through a lot of deeper things, and I needed a long walk.
Mm.
So this was a walk across the USA in 2010 from Delaware to San Francisco. Amazing, transformative in every way. I met so many people, learned so many things. I often describe it from the body, the vibration of the body, learning with the trees and even the traffic and the cars and the complexity of roads and systems. So the waking up component of the book is very much just about slowing down to be attentive to our neighbors, to ourselves, to trees, to the things in a way that, you know, maybe is a little closer to how we're made to, whether that's on foot or on a wheelchair. It's just unhurried. I care a lot about it. So the book is just a creative nonfiction piece that stories, artwork, and practices that touches a lot of that.
That's awesome. I feel like it's a perfect time. It seems like the pendulum is swinging back, right? Everything was like, go faster, get the latest phone, get this, get that, get the technology, move forward, grow. And now it seems like we're all realizing, wait a minute, maybe we need to like take a moment and breathe. First
yes.
of all, we're a little too connected to the little device that's in our pocket.
Yes.
And now we have timers on things to make sure, because they gamify it so well. And so we had to figure out how to gamify nature, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yes, just back home, back to it, back to the hug. I always refer to trees, but you know, I just spent 9 miles this morning walking from where we're going to be doing some of our events tomorrow and on Friday. you know, just 9 miles moving down to Juneau and to downtown from the airport area. And I'm just full of so much, just seeing and experiencing, you know, the weather and the water and the birds and some of the people that I met along the way this morning. It was a gift.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think 15 to 20 miles a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Easily. Yes. Oh, it's medicine. I need it. I mean, it helps that a lot of my work now integrates into it. So I'm working. Sometimes I'm doing Zoom calls through the little phone while walking, you know, on a rural road, or, you know, it depends. My partner and I just finished a 7-week walk along the Pacific Northwest from the south of Oregon up to Vancouver, BC.
Wow.
Yeah. So yes.
That is great. Okay. So let's get to your program, Walk to Connect. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So Walk to Connect is a program now of America Walks, which is it's a national walking pedestrian advocacy organization, also inclusive to mobility on wheelchairs, powered scooters. And so we provide programming and training for what we call walk role leaders. So people that are interested in hosting walking, rolling related events. So things connecting people to health and mental health, the benefits, social connection, just getting out and moving with people. Nature connection, themes and topics in history, and a lot of focus on walking and rolling audits. How do we connect engineers and urban planners and residents and different kinds of, from different backgrounds and abilities, low mixed income housing, public housing, how are we connecting people to kind of the lived experience of leaving from home to the grocery store, getting to the bus stop.
Like, let me tell you, last winter, I had a little leg problem. I broke my hip a little bit, and I was on a walker for a number of months, and I got a different view of Juneau.
Yes.
I definitely got a different view of Juneau. And what you take for granted, right. You know, when you can basically walk wherever you want.
That's right.
And when you can't do that, and I had a walker, I was still a little more accessible. I started thinking about folks in wheelchairs and like there's certain areas that are just impossible to navigate.
Yes.
And so I love that you're sort of helping, you know, we just had the city managers on.
I was just listening. I'm like, wait, can I just jump in? Can I hang out?
Can we just have a chat and like, you know, figure out what we need to point out here and there.
That's exactly right.
So that's great. That's a really great program. And you're going to be doing a couple of events this week. Let's start with tomorrow at Twin Lakes. What's happening at Twin Lakes tomorrow?
Yeah, so it's tonight.
Tonight. Oh, September 13th. No, I just got back from vacation. My days are all messed up.
It's all good.
I have no idea what's going on, what day it is.
Well,
it's tonight.
Yes.
What time?
It's going to be from 5 to 6:30 at Twin Lakes, and it's in partnership with AARP Juneau, with the Juneau Commission on Aging. Linda Kruger, an amazing local, has just been the primary weaver of all this programming. So it's very much just following her lead in a lot of ways. So tonight we're doing a glow walk. It's light. It's meant to be, it could be glow and rain and all the things. We have glow sticks. It's meant to be fun. Move your body, come out and connect, family friendly. And we're going to take our time, just whatever paces show up. It's meant to be easy and light and make new connections.
That's great. That's tonight.
At
5 o'clock, Twin Lakes.
Yes.
Be there for the glow walk. And I guess you're providing the glow sticks.
That's right.
That's good. Okay. And then tomorrow, there's a walking leader training, and this is the one you were mentioning, how you're getting people to learn how to do some things and be more out in the community.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So tomorrow's a deep dive into tips and tools and just everything related to how could I start an unhurried movement event for health, for connection, cross-cultural, cross-language, cross-age, cross-ability. We really open it up to the interests of who shows up. So it's a pretty wide open net. The first half of the training is going to be focused on just here are some tips on how to host a meaningful event that helps people feel connected, unhurried, walking or rolling. The second half of the training is focused on hosting walking and rolling audits. So thinking about, you know, pedestrian safety, if you have a business, if you live somewhere and it's really hard to cross the street and get to that grocery store. This is meant to be a training and a primer for advocates to just get some tools to say, hey, like, let's get some people out here and experience this. And then let's create a report. And using the AARP Walk Audit, we're using the AARP Walk Audit Toolkit, which is a great, it's just a great tool and resource for shaping how communities can organize around these things.
That's awesome. Okay, yeah. So how do we find out more about these particular events, especially the one tomorrow, since we know what's happening tonight? Be there. Just show up.
Yes, the best way to find out is probably getting in touch with Linda, which I have her email and her phone number, and I'm going to read it out to you.
Okay.
So Linda's phone number is 907-957-0335, 907-957-0335, and then Linda Laska, so LINDALASKA 2003@gmail.com. We have a couple spots left for this training, so it's almost full. But if you're interested, please get in touch with Linda, and we'll add you to the list. And that's going to be tomorrow from 10 to 2 p.m. at the Huddle, which is just outside of Riverview Senior Living, the mall area right there.
Okay. All right. That's great. And then where do we follow you a little bit, Jonathan? Where do we find you and your book and all that?
Yeah. Anywhere books are sold. I just stopped by the library and said, hello, there's a copy floating around in the library, which is great. But North Atlantic Books is the publisher, but I always encourage local bookstores. So just check in with your local bookstore. There's also an audiobook. And I'll just make a note too. Friday, we actually have a walk audit event also taking place outside of Riverview Senior Living. So if you're interested in being a part of it and helping us document the safety and accessibility outside of Riverview Senior Living, join us on Friday and you'll meet us from 1 to 3 p.m. at Riverview Senior Living.
That's awesome. And I know that you can go to americawalks.org/programs/walk2, the number two.
Yes.
Walk to Connect, and you can find out more about Jonathan's program there. So thank you, Jonathan, for coming on Juno Afternoon, telling us a little bit about these walk events, starting tonight with the Glow Walk at 5 p.m.
Come
at Twin Lakes.
Us.
It sounds so good. Yes. Gunnar the Chiefs for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Boston.
All right. Up next, more Mindful Goodness with Ken Chul Rinpoche here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. That was great. Thanks for fitting us in.
Do the things you do to me, girl. Only you can make my life complete. Your angel, heaven is in you. For thousands of years, we've been together. Time with you will last forever, forever. I want to spend my life with you, 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 you. I'm sensing you, you're sensing me.
You complete me, your intellect, the way you show respect, your family tree, your body, heart, and mind. Perfect by design, girl, I think about you all of the time. You changed me into my great-great ancestors, envelop us. And now we in a state of ecstasy, we meant to be. Our everyday reality expands as a tree. Complete me, family tree. By design, all of the time.
Look in your eyes, I see the angels, the angels. My time with you will last forever, forever. I want to spend my life with you, my life with you.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's a little Kachung and Akumatu doing Only You. Kachung, of course, part of Bumyo, who will be performing next week as part of the Ok Rock Music Festival happening here in Juno. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. This week, there is some Mindful Tibetan Buddhism training happening in Juno. To learn more, we are welcoming, via Zoom, Tibetan monk Khenchul Rinpoche, translator Paloma Landry, and Sudhi Hargis. I know it's a little weird on Zoom, so I'm just going to say, Gunath Chish, welcome to all of you, and happy to have you here in town this week, Khenchul. Thanks for being in Juno.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So tell me a little bit about this training. I don't want to get all the pronunciations wrong. So if you will say the names of these trainings and this group that's here in Juneau, that would be really helpful to start.
Oh yeah, teni ngatu mala lovjung zehiore. Yena yang tinani teni ngi book mala kyan zu hako yore teni sem ki nur top zehde pelawore. Power of mind zehde tere. Ta tek zo teni shirtan ngatu shi yurki mubo zeh chiktan. Teni te yurtu shipi yurchen ke sem zehde ni yorwa. Tinani teni zo sem ke korla.
So Rinpoche said, I'm being hosted here by Katok Ewan Ling, a local Buddhist group and practice group and meditation group here in Juneau. And we are doing a book talk tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And the topic of the book is The Power of Mind, which is about mind training and how our mind is the kind of primary factor determining our experience. And so when we examine the outer objects that we perceive, and then we consider the perceiver of the mind, that's the full scope of our experience. Of these two, our mind is the most powerful factor. And so that's what I'll be speaking about this weekend, both on the public talk and further in more in-depth on a weekend.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, I know we have the Power of the Mind tomorrow, September 14th at the Jack at 7 p.m. And then this weekend, there's a teaching called Profound Wisdom for Seeking Temporary and Ultimate Happiness Meditation Instructions for the 12 Links of Interdependence. And that is on Saturday and Sunday. And those are like all, that's an all day thing on Saturday and Sunday. You got to be prepped and ready to go for that. And you can, I'm just going to give this out now and then I'll ask some more questions here, but I want to give the website. It's katog.org/events. And that has links to all the different things happening here in Juneau, because Kentrell's here this week working with the group that's here in Juneau, right? And then these are the public facing elements of that, right? So I want to just go back to Kentrell and ask, can you tell us a little bit about your background as a Tibetan monk and how you got into writing your book and going out into different communities like this and doing this training. And tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah. And you nyam to love you, Sariko.
Yeah. To please in a Zoom.
Yeah. Kesa de porre, salon shonsa de porre, then he'll hob yon manchewa de porni shire, then he yakala yon yon, then he yam yon. Or then he shini matekala, ta philosophy, Buddhism yani, then he pahwe to mapo chitney, a tati wato, nojin begonians.
Mm-hmm. Usually we do a simultaneous translation, but with Zoom we can't.
So it's very hard on Zoom, I get that. Yeah, yeah.
He said, I was born in Tibet, and I actually spent my entire life studying in monasteries, and later as an adult, also furthermore in India. And so I've spent my whole life devoted to studying Buddhist philosophy and meditation. And in the last few decades, I have spent my primary time traveling the world and teaching what I've learned, sharing it with others.
Great.
So,
Danny, yeah. Ta America de ni tep de tap shir tong kumi dem the tampo wetted pagi harshok chilaga Connecticut nala wetted chitney. Then you mamboji yoni, soconala, machum, also shilla son, mamboji matuchi amaji, shillando togni, lojung wetted de. Dikabla, then you matu transcribe sheep jarna, then you mamabu yankere. Pantolosai, Kunsu Chet, those any Tambunga to teach it to Zuni, De Kale Kale Jima Bugla Chasu, is it?
So, in terms of this book and how this came about, I was giving a weekend seminar in Connecticut on the East Coast. It was probably about 15 years ago or so. And so many people came that we had to turn away over 60 people at the door because they wouldn't fit. And so the teaching was on training the mind and working with the mind. And we decided afterwards to transcribe that so that those who had missed the talk could study the teachings. But then the transcriptions came out and people were so inspired by them, we decided to write it into a book.
That's great. That is really great. And so I want to ask, what's the importance of traveling around and giving this message to other areas of the world? Why is that important to you?
America la drama po tevjin de kwem zo koma po Harvard University deni yoru ku shula ya ma po songin deni tela ya Oxford University da de zo cha cha ma po ji songin message de ni take yo jemsen kare re se na na ma cho ma ma po ta sa ta sem nang ka ngar ma po ji yo re sem nang la jing na ta sem che ta nyumo pa ma po ji hali par ngar la me pi dansan mixer ke du ngam ba yin ba bang la ti kap de la mang po ju ka ngar to nyu da ma bu na hong hui de hong er she pa de de hong song na de la pan tu bu na ne ngi per de de ni sem khorang ke ka ngar de khorang ke seria ma ko ko ma shi ro ke yu ke ngu po ka che yar gi su na ya ga ka che ma bo yo na ga ga che developing chi su na ya ga de so ke de ni pan ye ko chi yu sem ko dunga te set ko yo mal sam ka ngar te sem ko ka ngar zom kha yo sem re ka ngar sem kha yo sem re o deep she na ne te ni ngi te ta sang ko du na la ne ma ma bu sem la jip te chi jo wa to ti che to ka sa kan ro wa message ta pi gem sin te re
So I do feel really passionate about sharing this method and because a book has such a capacity to reach a wide audience, Rinpoche said, I've been traveling for almost a year now all over the United States and also into Europe. And I've spoken in a lot of universities, including the University of Alaska up in Anchorage and also Harvard in Boston and Oxford University in England and numberless bookstores. And I've just, the reason why all the effort and travel is because I feel like the message that this book has for us is exactly what we need these days, because we find ourselves in a time of a lot of turmoil where many of us have so many disturbing emotions and fear and anxiety and anger much more than in the past. And so when we look at how do we decrease our mental afflictions, then the mental afflictions are actually then dependent upon our mind. And so mind's hardship, mental hardship has to be dispelled by the mind itself, not by the external circumstances alone. And especially as we find ourselves in circumstances where externally there's a lot of hardship, then the only way that we can sort of overcome that and be, you know, find benefit and peace and happiness within ourselves is by learning about how our mind operates and working with our mind, because the main troublemaker that we have is our mind, and the one who can sort of save us from ourselves from all that trouble is also the mind. And so right now more than ever, this is a message I want to share.
Can I just say, Paloma, that you're the best translator that I have ever heard in my life?
Oh, thank you. I've been translating for Rinpoche for 21 years.
21 years. Wow, that's so great. I mean, because it sounded like you. It sounded like you talking. So I'm sure you've assumed some of these lessons over the 20 years yourself. So that's good. So again, The Power of the Mind is Thursday, September 14th at the Jack at 7 to 9 p.m. And it says, regardless of what is happening in our lives, Kendrul teaches the route to freedom is within our minds. And then also this Sunday, There is a weekend long, both Saturday and Sunday training called Profound Wisdom for Seeking Temporary and Ultimate Happiness. So who should attend these sessions? Who listening now should attend these sessions? Is it anybody? Do you have to already be sort of into meditation, or can a beginner show up as well?
Oh, tētini Capricorn yō mare, gamba tang, zhumba tang, rigni yō tang, me tang, chūlup yōng kan tang, chūlup kārī yī na Capricorn yō mare, kārī rī zhī na dī na lāp shā kī yō pī, message tā kārī rī zhī na lāp shā shā tī kārī rī zhī na nē, ngī yō mixer pī tī zhī, tā nī ngā tō lā, tā nī mē pā chī kī shā kī yō mare, rā sō sū sēm tāng dēr yō pī, yē nī ngā tō sēm kā nā lā, yundan mapo, what yun mapo chik sem dam reni yore. Teni te rana la ye ni yodpa te gevi chata, yundan ke chate chertar ngun tu kirvi thap. Rana la ye ni yodpa te. Gansak reri la ye ni yodpa te ngun tu kirvi shepi thap ta tuk shek yore. Tiv shen na matam chel lam rewa yonken chik re ma. Teni ngi yung mixer wa chik, teni kheri honi matakta ni mamrer wa chik. Thap shek go zek yodpa te di ma re res.
Rinpoche, is it weekend chikpare or the nicha or chikpa zegedu? Sa pemba nima kong tam?
Yeah. Weekend kabla titi chesam bukwa.
Awesome. So these teachings are universal. They're for everyone, regardless of our age or sex or religion or, you know, culture. And the reason why is because what I'm speaking about is not something that we, each and every one of us, doesn't already have. What I'm teaching on is how to access the positive qualities that are innate to all of us, that we all have within our mind. And so it's something that every single living being already has. And these are just methods for making these evident to us. And so it's a universal teaching that anyone can come to. The book talk will be a shorter talk. It'll probably be shorter than is advertised, more like an hour talk and then a book signing. And that one is a very easy topic. The weekend will be a little bit more in depth for people who want to go further and look into that even more and those methods.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Okay, cool. And you can find out more at katog.org/events. I want to thank you both, all three of you, Sudhi. Thanks. It sounds like, it looks like via the Zoom, you're the host here in Juneau, and that's awesome. So I want to say I appreciate you all coming on. Gunath Cheesh for being here today, and have a great time in Juneau this week. I really appreciate you being here. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay, up next, comedian Brooks Whelan is on an Alaskan tour. It's called Alive in Alaska, and he'll be at the Goldtown Nick on Sunday, September 17th. We'll find out more next here on Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. That song is called The Phaser is Broken by Kuik, another one of the artists that will be part of the Ok Rock Festival next week here in Juneau. Of course, you can find out more at okrockfest.com. It's happening so soon, the only Indigenous music festival in the United States, right here in Juneau. You're listening to community-supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneauhawk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher, your host. Brooks Whelan is a comedian originally from Iowa, He's been a cast member on Saturday Night Live, appeared on NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers, HBO's Girls, Comedy Central's The Half Hour, At Midnight, Conan, Netflix, I Think You Should Leave. And as he says, other junk he's less proud of. I know exactly what he means when he talks about that. He's about to embark on his Alive in Alaska tour that will take him to 8 communities around Alaska, one of them being Juneau, this Sunday night at the Gold Town. Gunnar the Chief, welcome to the show, Brooks.
Yo, I can't wait. I leave in the morning to fly up to Anchorage.
Awesome. So and your first stop is McCarthy, right?
It is. Yeah, man. That's kind of like I'm filming a special in Anchorage at the Beartooth Theater on September 29th. And then this McCarthy show came up and it was like a thing I couldn't say no to. It's called Last Man Standing Festival, where in McCarthy it's like the end of their season.
Yeah.
So they have this big festival and they were like, do you want to do stand-up at it? And it's where they drink everything that's still there before they leave for the winter. And that was September 15th. And so then I was like, well, shoot, let's put together a full Alaska tour to make those two combo together. And that's how this all happened.
That is so awesome. Well, we're the beneficiaries here in Juneau for sure. But first, Brooks, I know I gave a little bit of a bio there, but would you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got started in the comedy?
I grew up in Iowa. I was obsessed with like Adam Sandler. So I read a book on him when I was like in second grade, like How Do You Get on Saturday Night Live? And, it said he started with stand-up. So I was like, oh, I should do stand-up and that will get me on SNL. And then I started doing stand-up and I fell in love with it like when I was 19. And then SNL was kind of just like, oh, that doesn't happen. That's not a thing. And then randomly, I through my stand-up, Seth Meyers saw me and I got hired to write there. And then when I was writing there, they're like, you should be in the show. And I was like, that sounds great. And then they were like, actually, never mind, fired. And I go, what?
Yeah, I know. You're famous for that. That whole season of cast was a little, there was a little controversy around that particular year, right? There was a lot of different cast members that, I guess, whatever, didn't click or whatever. But so you were writing on the show already. And then they said, mm-hmm. Hey, be on the show. And they're like, actually, no. Were you then still writing on the show? Or did they just say, thanks for your time?
No, I was pretty upset and I left.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't really want to be here anymore. This is a functional work environment, and you really hurt my feelings. So I do not want to stay here.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't even.
Oh, we lost Brooks a little bit there. He froze on the Zoom. Maybe he will unfreeze. This is what you get for talking about Saturday Night Live. You froze there for a little bit, right as we were talking about that. So say what you were just saying there.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Basically just I just left after I got fired and went on tour, which was ultimately like failing on that show was kind of the best thing that ever happened to me stand up wise, because I was like, oh, I never like stand up is the thing I care about the most. So why did I get sucked into the sketch comedy world for like Saturday Night Live is like kind of for babies. Like, I mean, I didn't watch it since I was like in eighth grade, and then I get sucked into it. And then like after I got fired, I was like, wait, that show sucked. Why I care about this?
It is so funny. It's definitely a history for me in terms of when I was much younger. It is a little bit harder to watch now. But anyway, let's move on for Saturday Night Live. We want to talk about your comedy, your stand-up comedy. You mentioned Adam Sandler. Were there some other influences that you had when you were coming up, and or what inspired you to sort of get into comedy in the first place?
Stand-up comedy in the early 2000s was everywhere, you know, like it was like Mitch Hedberg was blowing up, those Comedy Central Presents were so big. Like, I'm not afraid to admit I loved Dane Cook when I was in high school, you know, like
I liked Dane Cook was funny. I know he had some controversy later in his career, but he was in that zone you're talking about where there was just so many great performances on the TV. So you were seeing those and you just got really inspired. Yeah.
Yeah, it just seemed possible. And I started working at one. And then actually one of my friends lives in Juneau who was a big help to me when I moved to Los Angeles. John Doerr. Do you know John Doerr? He's a great comedian.
I do know John Doerr. I know his wife really well as well. And he helped
me a lot when I moved to Los Angeles, just randomly. I don't even know if he knows this. I was at like a good show, just sitting there watching. And I introduced myself because I was a big fan of his. And they were like, hey, John, do you want to go up? The booker of the show asked John, because, you know, he's one of the funniest comedians in the world. And he was like, I don't, but my friend Brooks would love to. And I had just moved to LA, and it was like the nicest move any comedian's ever done for me. Like, cause like, I did not deserve to be on that show, but he was just like randomly like, let this guy on.
Oh, that's and, so and cool.
Yeah, they couldn't say no to him. So I got to go up with like Zach Galifianakis and Sarah Silverman and all these people. And I'd been in LA like a month, you know, and I was like, dang, like that's the coolest move anybody's ever done.
It's so easy.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt until I got fired off SNL. I was like, man, this is all going way too easy.
I mean, it sounds awesome and like an awesome experience to tour around and make people laugh for a living. But I know that you put in a lot of hard work and there's a lot of work that goes into it behind the scenes. How do you get that good balance of joy and work, like the joy and then the work in your career? How do you manage that?
Well, it really comes from I had a full time job as a biomedical engineer until I got hired to write on Saturday Night Live. I was 27 when that happened. And I think it really grounded me in the sense of like, I know what a day job is. Like I was a full-time biomedical engineer at Caltech for 4 years. And it wasn't fun to be able to see where I would be in 40 years. You know what I mean? Like you're on this plan of like, in 10 years, you get 15 days vacation. In 20 years, you get 20 days. And it was just really scary. That was the scariest thing. And so now that I have this like fake life job, I really appreciate it. You know what I mean? Like I'm coming up to Alaska to do shows and make some money, but more importantly, like I get to see Alaska.
Right. Have like, you been? Have you been here before?
Yeah, a couple of times. I love it. I spent my 30th birthday camping in Denali. And then I went up and did a bunch of shows around Fairbanks, but I've never been south of Anchorage, which turns out is the prettier part of Alaska. I'm pretty excited.
It's so great. And I just want to run this down before we run out of time here. You're starting in McCarthy, then you're coming to Juneau, you're going out to Sitka, which is beautiful as well. Cordova, Soldotna, Talkeetna, Fairbanks, and then winding up in Anchorage. And as you said, you're recording a special there, which is awesome. Now here in town, you're being hosted by the Gold Town Nickelodeon. And I just want to give out the website for that. It's goldtownnick.com. We love the Gold Town here. It's our independent. We only have independent movie houses here, but they are a nonprofit movie house. And that's where Brooks will be on Sunday, the 17th. And you can go to goldtownnick.com for tickets and more information. Brooks, it sounds like you are going to have an awesome time here in Alaska.
Yeah, the early show sold out at the Gold Town. So we added the late show sold out. So we added an early show for Sunday.
What time is that show?
It's at 4:30. So we're doing 7:30 and 4:30. 7:30 sold out. And while I'm there, the Gold Town, I mean, truly in cool Alaska independent fashion, hooked me up with a houseboat to live on while I'm there for 2 days.
Awesome. That's so good. Wait. We got to run. Yeah. It's Brooks Whelan. He's going to be performing at the Gold Town Nick on Sunday, the 17th. You can find him all over the internet on YouTube and his specials and all kinds of stuff. He's a funny, funny guy. Thanks for being here. Gunnath Cheesh, and have a great time in Alaska.
I can't flip and wait. Thank you very much.
That will do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Tomorrow, season 4 of Culture Rich Conversations continues with another edition of Hot Topics in Black Culture. Juneau Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juneau 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Auk Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JuneauAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Thanks and have a glorious Juno evening.